We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is AJ and Dusty.
Let's go, Dutch! What's up, Oregon?
With Coin 6 sportscaster AJ McCord.
You never believe you're out of a fight. You never believe you're out of a game. Where does that come from?
It's having some pride, having belief.
And Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
Jonathan Smith, Oregon State head football coach. Do you have a fullback that it will run his head through a wall?
Yeah, we've got that thought.
AJ and Dusty on 1080.
I proved it up. I'm not running from nobody.
The Fan.
All right, hour number two, AJ and Dusty in the afternoons. Thank you for being a part of our day, letting us be a part of yours. The Portland Trailblazers got a big vacancy to fill. At one center court, it is replacing Terry Stotts. And names are flying all over the place. And earlier this morning, we checked in on theathletic.com, and we saw Sam Amick had a piece up about an interested name in the Portland Trailblazers vacancy, and he was kind enough to join us today. Sam, thank you so much for the time. How you doing this afternoon?
Doing great, guys. Thanks for having me.
You know, we saw Mike D'Antoni's name interested in the Blazers head coaching position, and I think a lot of folks in Rip City went, huh, because we heard Neil O'Shea earlier this week talk about everything he was looking for in a coach, and it seems like that's right. Kind of against the grain here with this D'Antoni name popping up.
Yeah, no question. It's funny, admittedly, you know, for me, writing-wise, reporting-wise, this is one of those where if it wasn't somebody of Mike's stature and resume and profile, then, you know, you don't write and report on every single person who has interest in the job. But, you know, Mike's coming off an extremely successful four-year run in Houston. His influence on Brooklyn, like I wrote, has been pretty profound and pretty under the radar. I mean, Steve Nash has done a nice job, but scouts and executives who talk about that team tell you that's a Mike D'Antoni team. And so it does for sure go against the profile that Neil had highlighted. But I also thought it was fair to you know, make the point that Mike's reputation certainly is not the defensive end of the floor, but his Rockets teams were pretty adequate on that end. And in fact, one year they were top 10. So an interesting name. And you know, my other thought there, guys, is I'm dying to see what Neil does in the context of Damian's situation, because, you know, I think it is going to be a real risk if you go with somebody without any experience when it comes to the possible ripple effect on Dame's future there.
I think that's the thing that has everybody even more uneasy in Portland, is knowing that whoever Neil Olshey and the Blazers tap to take over as head coach is going to be a move that Damian Lillard, it feels like, is going to watch very closely as he evaluates his own future and what he wants in his career. So with that, you mentioned the defense. The Blazers were abhorrent on the defensive end this year, 29th in the league. And Neil Olshey, in that press conference, which I was in, he said, you know, 4/5 of our starting roster is under contract, the fifth one being Norman Powell, who they've made no secret they want to try and keep. They're going to make a bid for. So my question then is, with this starting five, knowing, like, in a dream world, that's who Neil Olshey made it sound like they would start this coming season, is the same starting five, for the most part, that finished 29th in the league defensively. So what does a new coach have to do to come in here and potentially just be so much better, get this team so much better on the defensive end without changing the roster much?
Well, and that's the debate, right? You make a lot of good points, but, I mean, Neil the other day certainly took some criticism for his blanket statement that the roster was not the problem, mm-hmm. right? And I think folks around the league would probably take some exception to that, as much as I think Dame and CJ are, you know, certainly an incredible duo. They have struggled defensively for quite some time. And then you add Norm Powell to that, you know, that's a small trio. And, you know, to me, the X factor always has been Nurkic and his health, and there's not much a coach can do about that. Terry Stotts paid the price, I think. If they had Nurk all year, who knows if the defense was able to crawl up the standings on that end of the floor. But from there, let's say a guy like D'Antoni did come in, or anybody with an offensive tilt head coaching-wise, I think you've got to have a rock-solid kind of lead command assistant coach with a defensive pedigree. You know, Nate Tibbetts was playing that role under Terry. John Lucas out in Houston played that role for Mike D'Antoni. And, you know, I think that Neil is correct that the players have got to be in an environment where they feel like they're being judged every single night, not only offensively, but on the other end of the floor.
And is that kind of where, you know, a guy like D'Antoni gets maybe unfairly lumped in, or as just an offensive guy? Or does he have that where that accountability is held on both ends of the floor?
I mean, I think he's a fascinating case study in the context of Neil's stance, right?
Right.
Because I think Mike would sit there and say, well, it's really amazing how I got better as a defensive coach when I had Dwight Howard or Clint Capella or T.J. Tucker, you know, those kinds of guys, you know, you can't almost knock the Warriors out of the playoffs during a dynasty without defending the ball. And they did that. So even if you, and this is admittedly, this is a bit of a stretch, but if you go back to D'Antoni's 7 seconds or less Phoenix days, one thing I've always found so interesting is that back then, we judge defense on points per game allowed.
Yeah.
That part's changed. Like, those Suns teams were not as awful defensively once you factored in pace that we thought they were at the time. We were not very sophisticated when it comes to evaluating that side of the floor. It has gotten a little bit better. But, you know, I think it is. It's Mike and Neil probably don't agree about, you know, the kind of the philosophical question of who's responsible defensively. I think the answer is probably somewhere in the middle.
You mentioned the criticism that Neil took earlier this week from that press conference, very defensively toned. Have you heard anything from around the league of other people's perceptions outside of Portland of how that went over, and maybe where Portland sits, knowing sort of where Neil put his foot down on Monday, saying this is not a roster construction issue?
No, not a ton. I mean, I think in general, I've got a good sense of, you know, Neil's view on it. And I think, for one, to your question, I think he's fine. I'm not hearing anything about him being in trouble right now. And like you said, he's got multiple years left. And I know the TNT crew had a little fun with that. It doesn't always mean you're safe, but I don't anticipate Neil going anywhere anytime soon. And I think one thing that, you know, is going to be interesting is that Damian in the past has, you know, been a partner with Neil, but has not been one of those superstars who, you know, like a James Harden in Houston. James was literally, you know, incredibly vocal about the roster. And it's to a degree that I don't think is anywhere near what Damian is in Portland. And so Neil has been used to this world where you always have to take into account how Dame feels, but you're not going to be told what to do. And that's where the whole world picked up on what seemed to be just a little, I mean, I don't know if calling it friction is a little too strong, but just a little tense after the playoff loss when Dame obviously comes out and talks about Jason Kidd, and everybody around the league knows that Neil is really big on Chauncey Billups. So, you know, I'm curious to see how this whole decision-making process goes down.
You know, when Neil laid that whole thing out and he has his parameters, is there a guy that popped into your mind that may fit that bill for the Portland Trail Blazers?
There's really not. I mean, about a month ago when we wrote about Terry's uncertain future, you know, we had Brent Berry in the story. We had Dave Yeager in the story. You know, Yeager's a guy that I guess you could look at and say, I mean, he's got somewhat of a defensive profile, but his Kings teams were awful on that end. I'm not seeing a dream candidate based on the way he, you know, I'm sure I'm forgetting about some good candidates, but again, I can't underscore enough that, and we'll see if it bears out, but you know, a lot of people, even though Neil said that they would be considering 20 to 25 candidates, there's this real sense that, you know, it's, you know, for Neil, that it's how do I make this road end with Chauncey?
I think you just made a lot. Go ahead. Sorry.
Sorry. Go ahead.
I just said, I think you're making a lot of people sad here in Portland driving around, you know, with the kind of the reality of it.
Listen, it's chatter, and it might not play out. And I don't want to disrespect Neil's process. I'm not trying to indicate it's not a real process. And I also am well aware there's been a lot of local pushback on Chauncey and then Jason Kidd before him. But, you know, we'll see. I think an Ime Udoka is a guy, if you're looking for a non, you know, former head coach who's getting a lot of buzz right now, you know, there's other ways you could go. And that's where, I guess, to go full circle, D'Antoni, I found him so interesting because he doesn't check those boxes, but he's got a bigger profile than any of them. And there's part of me that says, if you're that uncertain about what's happening with Dame, then why not go all in on a guy who at 70 years old, you know, you're probably talking 2-3 years max with D'Antoni. You figure out, can we get it done with Dame or not? And then at that point, you know, you're either going to be celebrating a championship and having a hell of a story, or you're going to be finding a way to move them and move on.
Sam Amick, the Athletic NBA writer. We always appreciate the time. Thank you so much, man.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
Go check out his piece at theathletic.com. Mike D'Antoni, that's an interesting one.
It is. And I think he fleshed out sort of why. Let's be honest. The Portland job, I think, is a very good one, especially when you look at the jobs available, right? You've got the Celtics, the Pacers, the Magic, and the Blazers right now. Portland has Damian Lillard. Portland has a superstar that raises your ceiling abundantly. So I think the Portland job, it's a no-brainer why he would be interested in this job. But I do think it's going to be interesting given the parameters that Neil laid out on Monday of how you get there. If he's the one you end up going with, how do you explain, based on the parameters you laid out on Monday, that this is the guy you decided on?
Yeah. You know, and there was a name that Sam Amick pointed out in there. That's an interesting one. Because I don't even think Mike D'Antoni checks as many boxes as another Nets assistant for what Neil Olshey was looking for. We'll give you a refresher. Plus, there are Vegas odds on the next coach to be the Portland Trailblazers. We'll give them to you next. AJ and Dusty on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, we had Sam Amick on from The Athletic. He had an article up about Mike D'Antoni, and admittedly so. You know, Sam is a reporter, so he's reporting, hey, he's got people telling him Mike D'Antoni is interested in the Blazers job, and why wouldn't he be? He's an assistant coach right now with the Nets. But I look at, there's a guy even on that Nets staff that I go, man, he checks a lot of these boxes that Portland needs. And he's never been a head coach, and I think that is a big one. But it was a guy that Sam Amick brought up, and it's Portland's own Ime Udoka.
Mm-hmm.
I think of Ime Udoka, and he was a longtime player both in the NBA for the Portland Trailblazers and overseas. He's coached under Greg Popovich for 7 seasons. He was in Philly for 2, and then now with the Brooklyn Nets. That's a guy that I look at and I say, yeah, he checks a lot of those boxes. for what you're looking for from the defensive aspect of it, playing with the different personalities and coaching with those different personalities and being able to get through to them has always been the thing that a guy like Ime Udoka has been known for.
And I think he checks a lot of boxes for both the Blazers and for what you're sort of inferring that Damian Lillard is looking for, which is potentially somebody who has played before. Yeah. I think that in what we saw with both the Jason Kidd and Chauncey Billups is that those guys both played. And I think there's something to be said for somebody who's been in your shoes. And it's not to say that you can't be a great coach without having ever played in this league, but that's what Dame has had for his entire career in the NBA. It's somebody who, you know, is Terry Stotts. And so when he's thinking about somebody new, that's, it seems like it's pretty clear that's a priority to him. And I like that for, so I like it from that aspect. And then I like something else that you brought up, which is what I asked Neil about on Monday. How do you get people to Portland? How do you get free agents? How do you convince guys who are looking for a trade that Portland is the destination? Ime could do that pretty easily.
Well, Ime Udoka, for those that remember when LaMarcus Aldridge left the Blazers, he was the main guy recruiting LA to the Spurs. Ime Udoka was the guy on the plane from, what was it, LA to San Antonio that gave that hard sell of come play with Pop, come to San Antonio.
Yep.
He's a guy that would understand it. And like, this is, he doesn't, the boxes that he doesn't check are pretty big too. Never been a head coach, you know, but he's won rings with, you know, Greg Popovich in San Antonio in 2014 as an assistant coach. He, hell, probably going to win one this year as an assistant with the Brooklyn Nets. And so that immediately gives you a little bit of oomph when you head into a locker room. But there was something that I was reading an article about Ime Udoka, and it popped out about how it pertains to a guy like Damian Lillard, right? Mm. It said, what's the most important thing that you've learned coaching under Greg Popovich? And he said, probably the most important thing would be relationships with players. Anybody can do X's and O's and game plan for team and scheme. Pop's got those bases covered. He's great in all areas, and he's the best at relating to the players, building a relationship with those players. Obviously, showing he cares for them is a big part of that. That's the thing I'll probably take away the most, the overall relationship with players. Once they know you care about them, you can coach them a certain way that they will allow you to coach them. But if it was that easy, anybody that has a job would be able to coach these guys, and that's not always the case. And this is where he, in San Antonio, he was a big part of player development. Mm-hmm. His role with the Nets right now is player development. And a big guy that he worked with, and he would travel to San Diego in the off seasons, Kawhi Leonard, is a guy that he was in charge from. Like, do you think about his time in San Antonio, 2012-2019?
Yep.
That was the growth of Kawhi Leonard. And so that his player development is something that he is, that's his role wherever he's been.
Yep. And I think that's something too with that does line up with Portland, because going into this idea that it's hard to get free agents to come to Portland, they've always been the kind to develop within their own system and to want to develop the guys that they draft, or the young guys that they end up getting. And player development is a huge piece to having success in a smaller market when you don't have that ability to lure as many free agents or to convince as many guys in a trade. If you're saying that that's difficult, then you want someone who is great at player development and seeing the players that you have in the building right now and how to make them better versions of themselves. And that's essentially what Neil was saying is likely going to happen with this next coach, is they're going to have to figure out how to take this roster, 4/5 of the starting roster of which is under contract, the fifth person being Norman Powell, and they've made it clear they want to go get him. There's not going to be, in Neil's mind, the impression that we got on Monday is there's not going to be a ton of roster changes in this offseason. So it's up to a new coach to come in and develop the guys that are already here. So that's a huge box to check, the player development one.
You want the good news or the bad news?
Let's do bad news and then good news going into the break.
Well, the bad news is that Ime Udoka does not appear on the list of names for the that sportsbetting.ag has put out for the candidates and the favorite to land the Blazers job.
All right.
The good news is that Chauncey Billups is 2-1 as the favorite to land it, because that's the guy that Dame wants, followed by Sam Cassell at 4-1, Dave Yeager, former Grizzlies coach and Kings coach, 6-1, Juwan Howard, 6-1, Kenny Atkinson, recently fired by the Nets, 7-1, David Vanderpool, 9-1, Jeff Van Gundy, Mike D'Antoni, 10-1, Becky Hammon, 12-1, and then Johnny Bryant, Nate McMillan, and Wes Unseld Jr., 14-1 odds. So
I throw a mixed bag back at you.
Okay.
In that Neil said on Monday, they hadn't released a list yet.
Yeah, these are the Vegas odds right here. The good news is Ime Udoka, 11-2 odds to land the Boston Celtics head coaching job. He is the favorite to land that job in Boston.
Yeah, I think Boston and Portland are going to be going at the very similar candidate pools.
Yeah, if you look at it, the odds are Chauncey Billups 6-1, along with Carol Lawson is also 6-1 odds.
Huh.
To be the first female head coach in the NBA.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't see, Becky Hammon 12-1 for that Celtics job. And she's 6-1 to get the Pacers gig. Behind Terry Stotts, who's the favorite.
As we expected.
All right. 503-250-1080. That is the Fan text line. The polar bear makes a pretty good point. Next on The Fan. Here's Will. All righty. We were talking yesterday about when the right time to lie is. That's what I got out of that conversation.
Oh, and what was the conclusion that you drew?
Never when Garrett Cole is involved.
Or just never ask Garrett Cole to lie for you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a terrible liar.
He's not great at
it. Because he was asked about using spider tech, and it went terribly for him. He stumbled, was like, I don't know how to answer this, and his brain melted.
Yeah, we watched it happen.
Mm-hmm. And who'd have thunk it that just across the old city of New York over in Queens, there would be somebody that would stick up for not just Garrett Cole, but for all those cheating bastard pitchers. And his name is Pete Alonso, the polar bear from the New York Mets. He was asked about the old sticky stuff that the pitchers are getting cracked down upon by MLB.
I'm wondering if you think MLB is doing the right thing by cracking down on pitchers with sticky stuff, and if so, why?
Oh, absolutely not. I think that I don't think so, because for me, I think that since the start of the game, pitchers have been using substances. I mean, there's a bag of rosin behind the mound right now to help guys dry their hands and get grip. For me, I think whether they're using pine tar rosin, bullfrog or sunscreen and rosin or whatever they want to use to help control the ball, let them use it. Because for me, it's like I go in the box every single day and I see guys throwing harder and harder every day. And I don't want 99 slipping out of someone's hand because they didn't have enough feel for it.
That is a valid point.
It's actually very reasonable.
It's a very reasonable point.
Like, if you throw a ball hard enough to kill me, I would like you to control that ball.
I would like you to have some say over where it goes.
And that's an interesting point in all of this that, I mean, we're kind of missing, is that if guys are getting bigger, stronger, and faster, you might as well, and in the spin rate on these things, breaking balls are going to break a hell of a lot harder if you use these. And Pete Alonso is like, well, whatever. I mean, I'm swinging. I'm going to swing no matter what. And he just wants them to control it, because that ball slips out and it gets you in the dome. Lights out, baby.
Yeah. And he pointed to, wasn't it Kevin Pillar who had the 94.5 mile an hour fastball hit him in the face in May?
Yeah.
That was painful to watch. I can't imagine what it was like to experience. So there's a valid point to that. I think where you start getting into this slippery slope is like, okay, well, where do we stop? What is too far of a, you know, foreign substance, and what is okay?
I think the bigger point that he made that I really appreciated was he went on to talk about how, like, when Major League Baseball changed the composition of the baseball, they deadened the ball this year. So if you're going to, and what Pete Alonso is like basically saying is like, hey, if they can use the sticky stuff, that's fine. Let me jack dingers with that juiced up ball, because if I get a hold of it, that ball is going to go over the fence. And I think that that is just as good of a point, is allow these guys to play, like, bring that old baseball back, because that was exciting.
It was.
And now you have a dead ball and sticky substances. And again, Major League Baseball making their bed and having to sleep in it, because they said nothing's changed with the ball. No, nothing's different at all. And now they're like, oh, well, yeah, we did kind of change the ball, though. Well, yeah, no dub. Nobody's hitting home runs anymore.
So I wouldn't say nobody.
If you're going to have the sticky substance, like Pete Alonso's like, yeah, I'd rather have them with control of a ball going 99, 100 miles an hour. Just give me a little something in return.
Yeah, I think that's very fair. And again, this is where it's like, where do you, Major League Baseball, draw the line? These unwritten rules, how dare you break them? Oh, but we're going to change the ball year to year, the composition of it, just because this class of pitchers is becoming free agents. Or, oh, maybe there's these positions. Like, there's an element of just ironic hypocrisy in the what Major League Baseball chooses to focus on and make a big deal about.
More power to them.
Major League Baseball?
Yeah. Just keep on screwing your own game up, all right? Just keep on. The hits just keep on coming. I honestly, I don't understand why they continue to go down the roads that they do, because it does. It's just like, it seems like it's one mistake after another, and they just compound it all the way down, and they never learn from their poor handling of any of these situations.
No. And it takes Alonso bringing so much sense into the situation for people to go, oh, that's actually, we should be talking about that. You're right. That is more important. Baseball changing the composition of a baseball than whether pitchers have control over it or not.
Well, I don't know if it relates so directly to just this moment, right, with the sticky substances in pitching, but you know, baseball for the most part is in an identity crisis, because it can't quite appeal to a younger audience with a massive portion of its audience still getting mad at people flipping bats and kind of skirting rules and everything. And
unwritten rules.
Yeah, right, unwritten rules. And you know, even with this, I think it's difficult for them, because they're battling against this whole idea of the purity of the game. But also, like, maybe you should just let this go. I don't know. It seems like the situation has gotten away from them at such a point that even if you go back on it, you're just going to be building on this hypocrisy you've had for like 20 plus years.
Almost,
like, what can they really do to stop this? I guess is my point. What can they really do?
Remember when the NBA, after their new CBA, they had the amnesty clause where they could just amnesty and say no counties? Maybe Major League Baseball deserves the amnesty, and we just say, all right, you guys get one big no counties. What are you going to use it on? Because there's several of them that we could just throw out there, and you could say you get to redo one thing. Because they, at every turn, whether it's the steroids, the cheating, the baseballs, the sticky stuff, like, there's a lot to choose from here.
I know if you're the commissioner, you're not choosing anything that has to do with the Astros, right?
Oh no, I would.
You'd choose that?
Yeah, no. I think they should have had more significant penalty.
Okay.
For sure.
Proud
so
of you.
what is the most expedient way to stop this, do you think?
Stop what though?
The sticky stuff on the pitcher's fingers and using these foreign substances. What do you think would be the most expedient way to maybe not put a complete stop to
uniform
it?
Uniform checks.
Uniform checks, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, geez. I guess I wonder.
The NFL does it before every game.
Yeah. All
right. So why haven't they done that yet?
Because they don't care. That's that's part of the Garrett Cole thing. You know what I'm like? It's part of the Garrett Cole thing where he's like, where he's with traditions handed down from guy to, and he was freaking out. Like, I don't know if I'm supposed to be saying this out loud or not. Well, yeah, you should say it out loud because it's the relevant part is that Major League Baseball hasn't cared. And this is why Major League Baseball continually steps in it themselves. They don't care until somebody, one person says something and they're like, well, yeah, this has kind of been happening for a while now. We should probably stop it.
Right.
And they do it with everything, whether it's performance enhancing drugs, cheating, or sticky stuff, sign stealing, all of it.
All right.
So I guess the short answer is there's not a fast way for baseball to figure this out.
No, I mean, there is. It's just they don't want to do it is what I'm hearing.
What?
Because I mean,
they haven't cared for so long.
Right. And what I'm saying, that's why I said, what's the most expedient way? Because Major League Baseball is a massive organization that has, relatively endless resources. Mm. Like if they really wanted to stop this, they could probably do it pretty quickly. They could say, let's hold a meeting. Here's what we're going to do. Every single team, here's an allotment of money for you to pay somebody in your district or, your region to be the uniform checker for each pitcher that comes out of the dugout or out of the pen or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then that's it. And then if this happens again, that's on the person who's checking. But from what I'm understanding from Dusty is that they just don't care. And that type of attitude has basically gone with every single thing and every single, controversy that they've had. That's what's made the sport unwatchable at this point.
Well, but this is where I think this differs from the cheating, from the steroids in some sense. I think there's some nuance here because what we just heard Alonso say is, I don't care, right? Yeah. Everyone had an opinion on the cheating. Everyone had an opinion on the steroids. But it sounds like there's some hitters who are like, listen, it benefits everybody when the pitcher controls the ball. So if they need to do something else to control, if they need something else to control the ball, I don't care. Yeah. So I think that's where it sort of is nuanced in its difference of this might be why it's gone on for so long, because maybe no one really does care who actually plays the game. You know what I mean? Like maybe a lot of batters feel how Alonso's feeling, but it's just like no one's saying the quiet part out loud.
Well, yeah, it's because one person says something and Major League Baseball overreacts to it and goes, we need to change everything. Stop the presses. See? No, you should go down the lines of the NFL. Ignore it. Because the NFL ignores everything,
which is not a good thing.
They'll fine you $5,000 for your socks, but everything else, they'll ignore it. And guess what happens? Nothing, because people will forget about it.
Well, and that's why I brought up the identity crisis thing, because AJ is making a good point. The NFL has an identity. It's awful, but they're pretty consistent with it.
Right.
And you can expect what's going to happen. I mean, it's the same that like when they put that whole ad campaign out with Ken Griffey Jr., like let the kids, that thing, I wanted to spit at the TV.
Oh, I loved
it. I was like, you're not doing that. Why are you even, you're wasting money. You probably paid Griffey $1 million to do the ad? That's probably his going rate.
That's the first step to ignoring everything, though, because they're stuck in this tough spot where you gotta let the kids have fun, because you have these old curmudgeons going, hey, respect the game. It's all about respect for the game. Yet the old curmudgeons are sitting there using spitballs and nail files to file down the laces. It's or the seams on a ball. It's like, what are you talking about, man?
The irony.
You're sitting there and just, you're speaking out of both sides of your mouth.
Exactly.
And then you respect the game, but cheat your ass off, but not
exactly.
Respect it.
Don't you dare put spider tack on.
So by having Ken Griffey Jr. come out with the let the kids play thing, that's the first problem. That's the first step in resolving your identity crisis is, no, we're just not going to care about anything anymore. And I applaud that.
I just wonder with this one, is it hurting anybody? Is it hurting anybody but the quote-unquote integrity of the game?
Well, strikeout numbers. It's hurting quite a
bit. I mean, but we just have a hitter who just said, I don't care.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, did steroids hurt anyone?
Well, they hurt
people. I mean, like individuals, yes.
Yeah.
Like who, the people that took them?
But the game, no, yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's their choice.
Well, yeah, but it didn't hurt the game. It actually tremendously helped the game in 1998. What a glorious summer that was.
I mean, wasn't that the case with the whole concussion crisis the NFL was having too? Is that a lot of these guys, well, there are players.
They blatantly lied to them about their long-term health.
Right. I agree with that, but there are players who are ignoring their concussion symptoms and going back into games and saying, I don't care, I want to do
this. Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's different than the league as a whole.
Yes, I agree.
Lying to
the
players.
All right.
Yeah, I just be consistent.
Even if it's awful.
Yeah. If you're terrible, be terrible.
Maybe they should just have a meeting. Like their owners' meetings this next year should just iron out what we care about.
Yes.
And what we don't care
about.
There
you go.
And write it down.
Yeah.
And put it down the unwritten rules.
Yeah. And put it in every organization. Don't make too many of them, like 10. And just put it on a big banner on each of the organizations, like on the inside of the building. And then when a huge thing arises, just go to the banner and go down it and be like, nope.
Nah, easier fix to this.
Yeah.
Just let Congress fix it, like the NCAA.
Oh, jeez.
That's a great idea.
Oh, because that's actually one of the fastest moving ways in the country to solve problems.
Just shut up and stay in your lane, Dusty.
Ah, man. All right.
Big lane, Will.
Charles Barkley was all of us last night.
Oh, this was awful. I can't believe we're playing this.
Next on The Fan. Last night, Charles Barkley was all of us.
Ugh.
Maybe not you in your car, but I'm going to go ahead and assume, yes, but it was definitely us sitting in this room.
I jumped and I fully recognize it was on TV.
Inside the NBA on TVT, best show out there.
I'm with you. Face your fears.
I'm like, this ain't nothing to joke about. Now, can we see the other things going on too? Man? There's so many.
There's a lot of stuff going on.
Whoa, Chuck, face your
fears. I got back to the creepy Chuck clown. The clown dancing.
Chuck, like this. I'm not touching those snakes.
Chuck, just go right there.
They brought a snake.
It was so big and yellow, like.
Yeah. Boa constrictor.
Oh.
Reminded of the one that Britney Spears had on her neck at that MTV Music Video Awards.
I texted you guys immediately.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't like this. Of course, I didn't get a response from Dusty because I wasn't asking a question.
That's accurate. But that's accurate. Yep.
I was going to get to it.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Really fun.
I saw it.
On an island. It's fine.
I saw it and I cringed for you.
It was awful.
This is really bad.
Is awful. And I like how Shaq is standing behind Charles and is like, no, we're going to face our fears. And somehow Charles Barkley looks small with Shaq standing right behind him. And you're like, oh, Shaq can actually like force Charles to stay right there and let the snake come closer. That's terrifying.
That's a big man.
Oh my gosh.
It reminded me of Cassandra from Wayne's World when she's shooting the music video with the big snake.
Yep. Yeah. She's somebody get the snake off me.
Oh, I wouldn't even go in, like, you know, the snake houses at the wild animal park and the zoos and all that.
Yeah.
Won't even go in there.
Really?
No.
Mm.
No.
Okay.
All it takes is, I don't even know, one little earthquake, all the glass shatters, and then where are the snakes?
Wow.
With you stuck in this little house. I'm out.
Okay. Wow. Follow-up question to that.
Remember, this is my worst case scenario.
Okay. Also, worst case scenario, what do you think a lion is going to do when the earthquake happens
I'm
and
not
everything
going,
crumbles? And the
not,
lion's going
to... No, I'm not going that close to the lion. They have so much space.
You know what's interesting about all these movies where like zoos...
Lions have so much space.
This is an interesting... Yeah.
And you know what you have to do with a lion?
Interesting take by you.
You just have to be not the slowest person.
What about a snake?
Snakes, that's what I'm saying. They're in this house... That there's only one little pathway to go through, right? Whereas a lion, when the glass shatters, there's a million ways to run. Snake, nope. One pathway. You are stuck in this house, typically with doors. I don't like it.
All right.
I don't like it.
All it takes is one earthquake.
I grew up in San Diego. We had earthquakes all the time.
Oh, the big one's coming here, too.
You will not find me anywhere near this house of snakes if the Oregon Zoo has that specifically for that reason.
All right.
I think the misconception with like a zoo breaking out with animals? Is that like they automatically all notice they're free and they're like, let's go kill those SOBs? I think most of those animals are just like, oh, well, now what? Like, I don't think a lion is going to get free and then be like, I'm killing her.
I think it'll be curious.
Yeah, it might just kind of like look at you. Maybe if you're like running at it and screaming, but I think if everybody's running away from it, it's probably like, what's going on?
Yeah. Just a little nibble.
That, no, but that's what I'm saying. You just got to be the not the slowest person in the zoo. But if you're in the snake house, they specifically put it in an enclosure already. I don't like it.
Right.
And so I like how Chuck hid behind the plexiglass like that was going to do any good. It's like a tiny piece of plexiglass, but I'm not judging because I would absolutely react the exact same way.
It is, though, reassuring when you see a man that large and you go, yeah, he's just as scared as I am.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that's a good thing.
And you know who really normalized and made it okay for those of us who are irrationally afraid of snakes to feel justified?
Harry Potter.
No.
Okay, well.
Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones.
Toughest guy, scared of snakes.
Have you seen the screen, the still shots that have been taken of Harrison Ford as Indiana Jones? They're making Indiana Jones 5 right now.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And he's back in his brown jacket and brown hat.
Nuh-uh.
Yep.
Wow.
It's on the internet.
It should be illegal for him to act.
It shouldn't. It should be illegal for him to fly.
Yeah.
He's crashed his plane 3 times.
Yeah.
That's what should be illegal. Acting is fine.
Oh, like, he is rough.
Hey, you know
he
what?
Is in a rough
hey,
spot.
Hey, we will roll not. We No, there's Yikes. No Harrison Ford slander on this show.
I love Harrison Ford movie. He is the star in one of my favorite movies, Blade Runner. Love him.
Okay.
But that guy is just not there anymore. Like, he's not mentally, he's not really, he's not putting the effort in. I've seen the screenshots. Even in the screenshots, he kind of just looks like, whatever, it's a paycheck. I don't care.
Do you guys remember George Burns? The actor George Burns, who was 100 years old? And they'd roll him out and stuff. Are you saying it's time for, like, Betty White to hang it up?
Well,
she's 90-something.
Yeah, she hadn't really been in a lot, though. Not lately.
I have to think about her most recent thing.
Yeah, because she was in that movie with Ryan Reynolds and Sandra Bullock. But
it was a great movie.
I can't really remember any, like, movie, something
great
substantial.
Rom-com.
The Proposal?
The Proposal, yes, yeah. She was a grandma out in the woods.
Yeah.
Yep.
But, like, Dolly Parton, I'll give you that. Like, Dolly Parton is still doing Netflix movies and
Love
stuff.
Love you, Dolly.
So, yep. And she's not quite 90. She's, like, 70. But still, that's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, I feel you, Chuck. As soon as that happened, I was like, wow, I've never been able to relate to Charles Barkley more than in that moment.
If the Bucks get run out of the second round, like it appears the Nets are going to do, does it say something about Giannis? Next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.